everybody. You are listening to Conversation Connections on WDRT here in Viroqua. My name is Evan Dvorak, and I'm your host for this week. And today, our subject will be hazelnuts. And I have some very special guests here in the studio. We've got Pam Saunders. Why don't you say hello, Pam?
Hi.
All right. And we also have Charlie and Mary Jo Burke. Why don't you say hello as well?
Hello, everyone.
All right. So, why hazelnuts? Why are we talking about hazelnuts today? What brought you guys to the hazelnut world? Let's start with you, Charlie.
That's a good question. Why hazelnuts? Well, globally, hazelnuts are an important industry. It's about a $7 billion industry around the world. It's expected to double in value in the next 10 years. So it's very... there's an opportunity for folks that are interested in a heart-healthy food, as well as they taste good. They're easy to grow. It's a perennial shrub, which offers some significant conservation benefits, whether it be carbon sequestration or water retention, increasing plant diversity. So there's a number of very important things that are ecologically valuable for persons interested in hazelnuts.
How about you, Pam?
Yeah, I got involved with hazelnuts because I got together with my partner. He had planted 200 plants, and I said, "What are these for?" And he said, "Oh, wildlife, I guess." And I'm a farmer, and that didn't seem quite right to me. And I learned about the American Hazelnut Company, which had been started in 2014. And got involved with that, and I now sit on the board and serve as secretary and oversee the operations that we do in the Food Enterprise Center here in Viroqua.
All right. Well, Charlie, why don't you start us out with a little bit of background on the actual, you know, plant,
sure,
the hazelnut plant itself, what it's like to actually have it in the ground and growing here in southwestern Wisconsin.
A lot of the demand for hazelnuts is being supplied by Europe. Turkey, Italy, Spain produces 95% of the world's supply. About 5% is available through the U.S. Market, which would be grown primarily in the Willamette Valley in Oregon. And the reason we got interested in, my wife and I and family, is we have a small farm in Vernon County, organic, and we're always looking at ways to, farm more ecologically, reduce soil erosion, runoff. We're organic farmers. We primarily raise crops. We recently retired, so we have more time on our hands now. And a few years ago, back in, I want to say, 2020, right during COVID, we heard a radio program by Jason Fishbach, who is the emerging crop specialist with Wisconsin Extension up in Ashland, and we attended a meeting in Spooner, and he was very keen on the idea of looking at creating a commercial hazelnut industry in Wisconsin. And we went through the numbers and the opportunity to plant. Looked like now would be a good time. One of the limiting factors we were made aware of back then is just the plant genetics per se. The native hazelnuts are native to Wisconsin. There's, you know, basically two varieties, but the nut sizes are very small, the shell thicknesses, so it's really not a commercially viable nut. But through a selective breeding program, I want to say Jason and company started probably back in 2007, if I'm not mistaken, and have been picking the best of the best that they find and then trialing them in different geographic regions in Wisconsin. I might say that, you know, breeding hazelnuts has been going on for well over 100 years. There's Rutgers out east, Oregon State has been doing much of that work. And one of the limiting factors originally was the Eastern filbert blight, which fortunately the native plants in Wisconsin and primarily in North America had disease resistance to it. So that's one of the advantages of using Wisconsin stock is great plant diversity, resistance to eastern filbert blight. And through their selective breeding process, which takes about 10 years for those trials to complete, we're starting to see some fruits to that investment. We have a new series of cultivars that are coming out. It's called the Adventure Series. And there are five different species or five different cultivars as a part of that program. We recently had an opportunity to sign up as a, call it a Go First Farm. There are 10 of those around Wisconsin. I think there's two in Minnesota. And the purpose of the farms was to show that hazelnuts can be grown commercially. And as being part of the Go First Farms, we had access to some of the better plant genetics so that we can help monitor the production, look at different growing techniques, as well as management for those down the road, do some field days so we can share the information we're learning, and hopefully create a grower hub in the Vernon County area where we can share knowledge as well as equipment that would help jumpstart that that industry.
At Valley, you mentioned there's a lot of hazelnut production that takes place out there. And when you're driving through the Willamette, you see these orchards. You know, they're rather large trees and rather bare soil underground. Is that what your farm looks like after you've established your hazelnuts?
That's a good question. The difference between the West Coast and the Midwest is we have a different weather pattern that sets in the fall of the year, which makes our falls wetter. So the ability to grow the nuts out in the Willamette Valley means that they usually have single-stem trees. The ground is bare because they're a drier season, and they allow the nuts to fall to the floor where they're swept up, and then they're washed later. What's nice about the way we're directing the Wisconsin Upper Midwest Hazelnut Group is to grow them in hedgerows, and the nuts then are removed from the plant by machine or hand picking, and that's the primary difference. We have a wetter growing season here. Those plants then are harvested either on the bush or they're harvested on the bush.
So they look more like bushes or shrubs. They don't have that tree shape that you see.
Correct. It's a multi-stem shrub. Generally speaking, the rows are spaced. They can be 15 to 18 feet apart between rows, and in row, they're generally anywhere from 4 to 6 feet between trees, and then those shrubs actually fill in over time. Generally speaking, you don't have much nut production until about the third year. So hand-picking those first few years is feasible, but as your acreage increases and the plants become more productive, you're looking at a mechanical way to harvest. In terms of the soils, Vernon County is well-suited. Your better soils, your prairie soils are more productive, so you're probably going to have better nut production, although they can be grown on clay soils. Sandier sites, which is where we find a lot of the hazelnuts, wild hazelnuts growing, are also suitable, although they may not be quite as productive over time. One of the contrasts, when we were talking with Jason and trying to project out return on investment was, you know, if you just went with the Wisconsin native varieties, you'd probably be getting maybe 300 pounds of nuts to the acre. They would be small, they would be thick-shelled, and really, other than wildlife value, that's about it. With these new cultivars that have been developed, we're anticipating on a per-acre basis in-shell return somewhere between 1,800 up to 2,000, and there's a lot of variables that would affect that, like weather condition and whether you irrigate. And those are things that we'll learn as we go through this process. It's pretty exciting, actually.
Yeah. So as you know, as you were getting that planting established, did you have to till the ground to plant those in? Did you plant them into existing you know, grass cover, or can they not handle that initial competition from grass? What's the best way to get a hazelnut established?
Well, with anything, competition really spells success or failure. If I were to encourage anyone to get into it now, I would say you don't have to be organic to raise hazelnuts, but you can. But weed control the first few years of that planting are very important because of the competition for moisture. And when we started, we're kind of in a valley setting. We've got a little bit of slope, 6 to 9%, and we plant on the contour. We did our best to eliminate the grass before we started planting. I was taking it out of a corn rotation, putting it into a new seeding of alfalfa. So that was that first year that I had actually seeded on oats and alfalfa, and then the plants became available. And I thought, okay, let's do this. And what we did the first year was we established what's referred to as pollinizer rows. A little bit about biology: the hazelnuts are monoecious, meaning that they have both male and female parts on them. But one plant is not able to reproduce itself. It takes two plants in order to pollinate. They're wind pollinated, and within probably the next week or two, we would expect to see some of the female flowers starting to open, which is really exciting. And then the male catkins are produced on the same plant, and those are produced in the fall. You can see them. They will elongate considerably, upwards of 2 inches or more, and we'll release that pollen, which will start probably toward the end of March. We would expect to see the plants flowering and being fertilized by the pollen. Pretty exciting.
And as far as like day-to-day management of the crop, are they a high needs crop, or compared to other crops?
A lot of the management is in the first few years of production, when you have to prep the soil. Usually we would recommend you take a soil test and make sure your pH is in that neutral range. Check your phosphorus levels and potassium in the normal range. It's nothing that has to be excessively high. They're fairly well adapted to our soils. So the first thing would be weed competition. Once you get them in the ground, you got to water them. Watering is key, as any other transplant would be. There's different ways of controlling weeds. We chose pine mulch, wood chips. We laid down a strip probably 24 inches wide and 8 to 10 inches deep, and that was the first year. I believe that was in 2022 that we planted, and that mulch has held up well. I will have to remulch this year just to help keep the grass down, and weeds aren't necessarily that big of a problem. It's the grass that's a super competitor. You can also use a black fabric as well. That does very well. And so from a labor, management, really, other than once you have them in the ground, making sure that they have water every week, I would suggest maybe an inch of water is a goal to shoot for. You can certainly get moisture meters and test it, but we've been fairly fortunate with timely rains in the area.
All right. Well, I like to eat hazelnuts, and I'm sure animals like to eat them as well. So is there issues with predation as far as the plants go? I mean, we have a lot of deer in the area. Are deer an issue with damage to the plants? Or once the nuts are established, do you get problems with birds or other animals coming in and trying to get your crop?
You raise a good question there. herbivores can and most likely will be a problem, so deer fencing would be something you would want to implement from the get-go. You can probably look at a wildlife-friendly kind of fence, which is a two-tier visually obstructive fence where the deer can't quite make out the perception between the two fences. They think they're thicker than they are. We chose a high tensile, 8-foot high metal, high tensile fence, because then that way I know that the deer are staying out of it. They do like to browse them. The rabbits will be a problem. So when you plant them, you'd be planting tree protectors around them. Usually 24 inches or so about would be important the first couple of years. it helps protect the plant from mechanical injury that you might incur while you're weed whacking them. Also, it helps keep the plants from desiccating, drying out in the wintertime. And then after the two winters or two growing seasons, you'd probably remove them, and then you could reuse them elsewhere.
Okay. So let's say you've got your hazelnut in the ground. It's been growing for a few years. It's survived the deer. It's survived the everything the wildlife can throw at it. And you start getting a crop. Okay. So can you tell me what does the harvest process look like on this crop?
That's a good question, and we're new to it, so we're learning as we go. What we're finding is that the nuts, and depending on the variety that you have or the cultivar, you want nuts that ripen at about the same time. You don't want to have to go through that row more than a couple times at most. The nuts will start to ripen in mid to late August, usually. I want to say sometime in September. I think we harvested in mid-September this year. And kind of what you do is you feel the nuts that are in the cluster. Usually on the hazelnuts, there's anywhere from 1 to 4 nuts in a cluster. And once they start to get a little bit loose, you know that it's time to remove those clusters and get them out of the orchard before the blue jays find them, raccoon, turkeys. Anything that can fly in or crawl in is going to be after them. Chipmunks, squirrels, they're very palatable and they're high in carbohydrates, so it's a food that is sought after by a lot of wildlife.
Okay, well, and the actual harvesting process itself, so you mentioned you've done a lot of it by hand. How is it done on, you've had a relatively small, experimental planting here. As you expand, or as if we have larger growers here, establishing this crop in the area, what's harvest going to look like on a mechanical process?
Well, we have only had one harvest after 3 years, and that was last fall. And it was very easy because my wife and I could go down the row and find the nut clusters and then remove them by hand. I have been forewarned that is not a viable option down the road, and so one should be looking at mechanical means. And mechanical means would include some type of over-the-row harvester, the type that people use for blueberries, olives. There's a number of combines in that general description that can be used for the removal of hazelnuts. A lot of that equipment is coming out of Western Europe because that's where the industry is, so we're learning as we go. But the process is pretty simple. Once the nuts are ready to come off, they get harvested with a over-the-row combine, i.e. a used blueberry picker. You can probably find them in the neighborhood of 15 to 20,000, but you'll probably end up sticking some money into them. And that's kind of why we're trying to encourage local growers to get involved, create a network of growers locally so that you can share that piece of equipment. If you were to have to buy a new one, you'd probably be looking at a minimum of $250,000 and north of that. So on a small scale where we're at right now, there are some value, there are some good used machines that you can pick up. And if you can get 3 or 4 or 5 growers that have 2 to 5 acres each, you can pool that equipment and then make it cost effective. So once the nuts are off and in the bag, you need to let them dry. And I would defer to Pam because I know she's got a little more experience than I do.
Yeah, exactly. So the nuts they're off the farm. Where are they going to go next? And I know, Pam, you've been trying to solve that problem here with some of your work.
Right. The American Hazelnut Company really exists so that people like Charlie, who are investing and spending the time and the money to plant these things, so they have a guaranteed market for their crop. So we're an LLC. We have now 43 owner members of that LLC. It operates pretty much like a co-op, except that you can have different levels of investment in the business. And as I say, we're there to demonstrate that there's a market. We have used every single nut that we can get our hands on for the last several years. And we expect now, with people like Charlie coming on, that we're going to have a lot more volume than we have had. It's been pretty slow because of the genetics and the particular challenge with propagating those genetics. The genetics are there, but the plant does not propagate easily. But people who are interested in learning about, and one of the ways that Charlie and Mary Jo have learned is by going to this website called MidwestHazelnuts.org. And also Savannah Institute is very involved with hazelnut growing and doing this experimentation with things like how wide should you space the plants apart in the row. They've been doing alley cropping in between the rows during initial establishment. And that's a great resource, Savannah Institute. They're North Farm in Spring Green. They often host field days. But we do our further processing here once we've aggregated the nuts from our growers. We do the processing at the Food Enterprise Center here in Viroqua. And we make, we press oil, we make flour out of the press cake. We roast and package Midwest kernel. And we make two different kinds of snack products, Hazel Snackers and Midwest Munch. They're available. Some of these products are available at the Viroqua Food Co-op. But honestly, you know, people say, well, why can't I get them here or there? And it's because we don't have enough nuts. So we're out there being actively recruiting farmers to go ahead and take the plunge. And, you know, Charlie and Mary Jo will have a pretty substantial planting by the time they start bearing. Did you say how many acres or how many plants that you guys have put in the ground?
We're looking at about 5 acres when we're complete, at least in phase one.
And that's how many plants?
Well, figure about 450 to the acre.
Okay, so it's not insubstantial, and it's what American hazelnut needs to grow. And so we're there to on behalf of our farmer members to be a profitable company on their behalf.
Right. So it looks, the market looks good for hazelnut products. You're feeling like this is a growth industry for the products you're producing.
If the indicator is running out of nuts every year, yes. Have we tested the ceiling of the demand? That's a different question. And there's a lot of education for Americans. Americans aren't used to hazelnuts like Europeans are. They like their Nutella, but everybody right. knows that Nutella is less than the most healthy product. But we're trying to tout not only the environmental services that hazelnuts provide on the landscape, but also the health benefits. It's got half the saturated fat of olive oil, for example. It has 4 times the vitamin E of any other oil except for wheat germ oil. It's a very heart-healthy nut, and I think people are getting more interested in it. And so, you know, we've just outlined a few of the challenges that are involved in building an industry in this area. We could go on and on,
I was going to add, too, that I think if you looked at an acre of soybeans and an acre of hazelnuts, hazelnuts will produce more oil than an acre of soybeans would. So if you're looking at different applications, different ways to look at it, certainly could fit into modern agriculture by an alley cropping method.
Right. Yeah, and there are certainly all kinds of potential growers that are coming from different aspects, different areas of the ag sector. There are dairy farmers who are interested in diversifying, and vegetable growers who could use those in between the rows as to grow root crops or other kinds of crops.
I just saw a program on a podcast, I think it was with Jason and a potato grower, center pivot irrigation, and the application there was on the glacial lake, Wisconsin, which is the Central Sands area. Could you implement rows on those center pivot? Answer is sure, you could do that, and they would act as natural windbreaks. It create a little more species diversity. So I thought that was a great idea.
We're one of several emerging crops. So we're trying to incorporate some of the other local crops in our products too. We use local maple syrup. We use local elderberries in some of our products. So we're among several emerging crops here in the upper Midwest.
As Pam alluded to earlier, the key to the hazelnut industry in Wisconsin is the partnership that has developed between the University of Minnesota and the University of Wisconsin and private growers like Badger Set out of Rochester years ago, and Mark Shepard did some work and has a orchard down in the Viola area.
But you mentioned there's also a partnership with the Coon Creek Watershed Group that you're a part of. What's that all about?
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. We're looking at the Coon Creek Conservation Watershed Council has been in existence now for about 4 or 5 years, focused on primarily the Coon Creek drainage. And recently, we were able to submit a grant, a two-year grant, to a SARE grant to help promote hazelnut establishment in the area. And as Pam mentioned earlier in the conversation, we're looking for early adopter commercial partners that would act as a hub to make their members aware of, and landowners in general, and if they are interested in planting hazelnuts, get them to fill out an order form so that we can let the nurseries know that we have demand for X number of hazelnuts. Nurseries are probably more than willing to invest the capital to do it, but they certainly need to know that that market is out there. So this is a really nice partnership that's come about in the last few months. Coon Creek Conservation Watershed Council is one of those organizations that could help really jumpstart the cooperative grow program here in the Vernon County area.
All right.
And they are also offering a $10 per shrub rebate or cost share, and they also do other cost sharing for cover crops as well. So this is one dimension of what the council hopes to accomplish in the area.
All right. Well, we're coming towards the end of the show. Do you guys have any other things you'd like to add? Like, give me your elevator pitch here, real quick. Why should I plant hazelnuts on my farm? I'll start with you, Charlie.
Well, I think the fact that it's a new emerging crop, hazelnuts would be the first nut crop grown in Wisconsin commercially. We have a tremendous working relationship with the American Hazelnut Company right here in Viroqua, which not only can help you connect with other growers, but they will help receive the nuts, process them into product, and guarantee a price so that you know what your margins are moving forward.
I'm aware that farmers often feel like they can cut out the middle person and go direct to the consumer, and then they realize that that is a lot of work. And so that's where we stand for on behalf of the growers, to do that aggregation so they can focus on growing, and we can focus on marketing on their behalf.
Fantastic.
I should have mentioned one thing. We have our brand name, actually. We just established this brand name last year as Hazel Heart Farms, which is different than the company name.
Okay, great. And we have a couple events coming up here in March. If you really want to jump on board with hazelnuts, we have a couple conferences in the region here coming up. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yep. There's a rotating conference that rotates between Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. This year, it's in Iowa, in Dubuque. It's on March 14th. You can find a reference to it on the UpperMidwestHazelnuts.org website, or contact.
Or it could be found on Savannah Institute's Perennial Farm Gathering. A lot
right.
of information on it.
Yeah, the Savannah has a Perennial Farm Gathering also being held in Dubuque, March 11th through 13th. And there will be many other agroforestry and emerging crops represented there.
All right. Fantastic. Well, I personally have learned a lot about hazelnuts today. I hope you listening have learned a lot as well. So thank you so much for joining us today on Conservation Connections.
Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.